The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How do you share the gospel with a stranger? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us for our journey today. I hope that if we met on the street, you wouldn't consider me a stranger. I also hope that if we met as strangers, you would share the gospel with me. We're going to discuss how that can be done today, but before we get to that, I'd like to remind you about our National Bible Conference. Our Bible Conference is a great experience for all those in attendance and those who watch online every year. I hope that we will see you there. You can find out more about our National Bible Conference by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. Well, let's get right to our interesting discussion for today about strangers with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for listening. We're so blessed to be able to do this as a ministry. Not something, you know, this. Neither of us started in radio ministry.
No, not exactly.
You know, not at all. Although I did some radio. I did some radio in college.
You did?
I had a jazz and funk radio station with a friend of mine.
Jazz and funk show.
I had a jazz and funk show. I was a different person.
What's funk?
Funk is, you know, it's like Parliament and James Brown and just, you know, funky people. But anyways,
I like James Brown.
James Brown was. I saw him live. Man.
Doesn't he
Never
say,
seen a show like that.
I feel
before.
Good?
Yes. Right.
I knew that I would now.
That's it. See? That sounds just like it.
Doesn't it?
Whoa, who is in the studio? That sounds just like James
well,
Brown.
Well, at night, I do clubs and things in the Dallas area. And so.
Under your Serbian name, James Brownski, right?
No.
James Brownkovich.
My grandmother was a Dabovich.
Dabovich.
And my mother was a Budinčić.
Ah. So,
or Budinčić, if you want to anglicize it.
Oh, okay. Here, I got some questions here for the show. Let's see here. Okay, how about here? This one's from Bobby, and it's B-O-B-B-I-E. Bobby says, I was trying to give the gospel, and this lady was short with me. And she let me know that baptism was necessary for salvation, and she used Mark 16:16. Giving the gospel sometimes is so wonderful, but at other times people are rude and resent my bothering them. How do you approach strangers with the gospel?
Well, that's a very good question, and we can talk about Mark 16:16, although we have in other contexts as well.
Here's what it says. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so some people will use that to say, see, there's two conditions. You have to believe, and you have to be baptized, and then you'll be saved.
Well, there's two things. Number one, this is the ending of Mark's gospel, which is disputed. Mark 16:9-20 are found in the vast majority of manuscripts, so I'm convinced this is scripture. But not everybody agrees this is scripture. So if you have a New American Standard or an NIV, or a Holman Christian Standard, you're going to see a note saying Matthew 16:9-20 is not found in the best manuscripts.
Right.
But since I agree that this is scripture, how do we deal with it? And
yeah.
You'll notice it says in verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, you have to ask the question, saved from what?
Okay.
And then you also have the question, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Notice it doesn't say, but he who does not believe and is not baptized. It's kind of odd that the condition for condemnation is not believing, but the condition of salvation is twofold. And, of course, most people who would cite this verse would say, wait a minute, infant baptism doesn't count. Because this would be typically coming from, like, the Church of Christ, for example, and they would say you have to be baptized specifically for the remission of sins. And typically, they think that occurs in churches of Christ, although they sometimes will say, well, if you were baptized, you know, outside of a church of Christ, but by somebody who believed and taught that, I guess it would count. But the point is, this verse is saying the condemnation is unbelief. Condemnation is not unbelief and lack of baptism. Secondly, the salvation. Zane Hodges held the view that the salvation here is broader than being born again. He thought this was the full New Testament package of having the Spirit and being baptized into the body of Christ and having the forgiveness of sins. That did not all occur on the day of Pentecost just by faith in Christ.
Okay.
People had to be baptized, Acts 2:38, in order to receive the Spirit and the forgiveness of sins.
Okay.
And to be baptized into the body of Christ. Even though they were born again in Acts 2:36, when they believed in Jesus as Messiah, Savior, yet because they were guilty of crucifying Christ, had to repent and be baptized. Mm. When you get to Acts chapter 10, you get the modern situation, which is Cornelius and his household were born again before they were baptized. Mm. And they were saved eternally before they were baptized. So Hodges holds view, this is saying, if you take into account all of the book of Acts, then you see that the full orb salvation, which includes reception of the Spirit and the forgiveness of sins and being placed in the body of Christ, required more than belief. But the second idea would be to say, this isn't talking at all about being saved from eternal condemnation. This could be talking about being saved from physical death when Israel falls in 70 AD. In other words, those who would survive the time at the end of the Jewish war between 66 and 70 would be believers in Jesus Christ who were in fellowship with him.
Right.
And remember, Jesus said, repent, or you will all likewise perish, yeah. Luke 13:3-5.
Yeah.
That is talking about 70 A.D., and it's not talking about going to hell. It's talking about dying. Something like 1 million Jews died in the Jewish war, and especially most of those died in 70 A.D.
Hmm.
So this could be talking about salvation from physical death that was going to occur when the nation fell between 66 and 70. And Jesus is speaking to here to Jewish people.
It is the gospel of the kingdom that Mark is concerned with.
So it could well be. Now, of course, in Mark 16:16, this is one of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. So the question is, who's the audience? It says in verse 14, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And then he gives them the great commission, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So it sounds like he's speaking only to the 11. So even though he's talking to the 11, he's explaining what's going to happen in the future. And so it still could refer to salvation from physical death in the Jewish war, which is to come.
Because he's telling them, you're going to go out into the world, you're going to preach this gospel, they're going to be baptizing people. And
so the first question was, what about Mark 16:16? The second question is, how do you share...
How do you approach strangers with the gospel? Because Bobby had someone was rude and resentful of being bothered with the gospel. And it's a little bit of a tough question. I mean, because some people don't care about being appeared to as rude because they're like, listen, you're about to die eternally. So I'm going to be a little rude to tell you about the gospel.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's worth it to me. But some of us are really shy and it's really hard for us to evangelize total strangers.
Okay, here's my suggestion and my experience. When I was on staff for 4 years with Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, I shared my faith with 10 or more people almost every week.
Yeah.
And they were almost all strangers.
Yeah.
Almost 100%. I'd walk up to people in the student center, in the dorms. I would just talk to them randomly. If I was on an airplane, I'd talk to people wherever I was. When I went to Dallas Seminary, I studied the way Jesus evangelized, and I found it was a much more effective way. What I started doing was sharing with people the message that Jesus guaranteed that if you simply believe in him, then you'll never be eternally condemned, you'll never go to hell, and you're guaranteed you'll be with him in his kingdom forever. And I found people are amazed at that message.
Hmm.
They'll say, wait a minute, that sounds too easy. But they don't come back with a lot of hostility for the most part.
Yeah.
Now, if they were like the woman that Bobby was talking to, and they're saying, well, wait a minute, you're missing out on Mark 16:16 or whatever, even with those people, you can come back and say, but if this really were true, wouldn't it be good to know where you're going when you die? And couldn't you say to the person, well, tell me this. Based on what you're saying, do you know for sure you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in his kingdom? Well, they're going to say no because I have to persevere to the end in faith and good works.
Right.
And what happens if you don't? Well, then I'm going to hell. And say, well, wouldn't it be nice to know that you're never going to perish? Isn't that what John 3:16 says?
Yeah.
And so what you might tell the person is, why don't you just pray about it? And maybe read the Gospel of John. You're obviously familiar with Scripture. And I find this approach works well with family members. This approach works well with friends.
Yeah.
Works well with strangers. It works well with everybody. The key is our availability. Are you available to talk to people about the promise of everlasting life? If you are, then God's going to give you opportunities. But not every person you meet is going to want to talk about the free gift of everlasting life. So you need to be discerning. I know there are people who are extremely outgoing and maybe have the gift of evangelism to talk to practically everybody. But that can be something that we used to call it bruising the fruit in Campus Crusade for Christ, where the people would get turned off because they felt like you're just talking to them because you have this burning desire to tell everybody about Jesus. You're really not concerned about them. You just need to salve your own conscience. Now, I get that you do care about their salvation, but if you feel like you have to talk to every single person, you're in an elevator with somebody, you got to witness to them, but between the first and the second floor, you know, God can use crackpots, vessels of clay. But for me, my approach is to use the message Jesus proclaimed, and I find it works great. And then when people ask questions about what about Mark 16:16, you can say, well, whatever that means, it doesn't contradict John 3:16, right? It doesn't contradict Ephesians 2:8-9.
Right.
And besides, if you believe that way, then you're saying, well, I don't really know if I'm born again, because almost everybody who adds in baptism also adds in perseverance.
Well, Bobby, I hope that encourages you. Good thought-provoking question. Faithalone.org is the website you want to go to for questions about Mark 16:16 or any other verse that might come to mind. And if you can't find your answers there, you know where to reach us at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about what it takes to be saved. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.